The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Alan would be disappointed if I didn't say, it's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, in the studio live on this rather beautiful Saturday morning.
For now.
Yes, it's feeling like summer may have snuck its nose under the tent just here recently.
Well, enjoy it now, because the forecast this afternoon is ugly.
Yes, warm, getting warmer.
No, rain.
Oh, well, that'll cool it off.
Just what we needed.
The optimist, yeah. Man, it's awful, isn't it? It has not been a good season for some things. On the other hand, you haven't been sweating a lot. No complaints. I'm not going to ruin an otherwise lovely morning by dwelling on things that you really can't help very much when there's so many things that we really can help. Anyway, to the regulars, welcome back. Thanks for always being there. You're the reason we show up time after time after time. And if you're just getting in touch with the show either on purpose or if you're driving by and happen to have it on, well, then stick around with us. Maybe you'll hear something you didn't know before. In fact, I'll virtually promise that'll happen. And if you have any questions, of course, then you can not have to sit here and listen to us go on and on about what we want to talk about. Instead, we will switch immediately over and talk about what you would like to talk about. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. We normally, as you know, slip right into the market wrap-up for the week, and I'm going to delay that segment just a little bit because I needed to make some clarifications. For those of you who are holding over from the real estate show, there were some inaccuracies, and it's things that can hardly be expected to know unless you're involved in it, but it has to do with the selling of the house. They had a caller who was making money on the sale of a house and wanted to know about the taxes, and they were moving along just right and gave her all the right information and so on. But then there was some wrap-up that I want to clarify for people because rules have changed. How many times in your life do you make money and Uncle Sam won't tax it?
If you have a Roth IRA.
That's one.
And if you sell a home.
For a profit.
Yeah,
that's two.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if those of you who have a little gray hair like mine, and who sold houses in the past, as I did in 1992, for instance, we had purchased another home prior to selling one, made a small profit on the one we sold, and had to pay tax on it because the rule was you have to reinvest it within X amount of time in a different property, and that property had to be more expensive than the one that you sold. Well, that's no longer true. Back in the middle of the 90s somewhere, there were a bunch of tax law changes that came down, and as I have expressed for many, many years, part of the tax law that happened then, in fact, there were several parts, but the part I'm talking about now, I promise you, no one in D.C. ever read that thing before they signed it, because had they read it, they would have figured out what a windfall it was for the American public, and they would have put a stop to it immediately. What am I talking about? Well, that's where the $250,000, $500,000 exemptions for the gains began. So back then, the rules were even looser than they are now when they changed. And the fundamentals were, if you had lived in the house for 2 years, you could sell it at a profit if you were single, up to $250,000 was sheltered, tax-free. And if you're married, then it would be $500,000. And all that was the net sale over all of your accumulated costs, including purchase cost and capital improvements to the house. You could repeat that process every 2 years, and you could take that money tax-free every 2 years. Now, that has changed. You still have to have lived in it for 2 years out of the past five, but now you can only do the transaction tax-free once every 5 years. It's still fantastic. It's just not quite as fantastic as it used to be. And who wants to move that much anyway? My God, that moving will take more out of you than anything. Anyway, you do not have to have it homesteaded. That is absolutely not true. You could have lived in it 4 and 5 years ago and be in a homesteaded place now, and you sell that one for a profit. And if you haven't sold one and claimed that for the last 5 years, you will get that gain tax-free. You do not have to reinvest it. You can sell your house and go live with mom and dad in the basement for a couple of years if you want to. You do not have to pay gain on it. You do not have to reinvest it. And further, it's not even a reportable transaction to IRS. How about that? You just do it, you put the money in the bank, and you move on. Now, not many people know this. The reason we know so much about it, and I'm going to give my disclaimer right here, we are not practicing CPAs. We are not qualified to do your taxes. We give tax planning advice, not tax advice. Never believe anything I say as gospel when it comes to taxes. Check with your tax preparer. Do a double check on it. Now, that said, the nature of our business and personal financial planning brings this topic to mind and to the table many, many more times a year than it would for a typical realtor or even CPA, because only once in a while do people sell. But when it comes to planning your cash flow and retirement and so on, it is a big deal what your house is worth versus what you paid. So we do get involved in it frequently, and we've had to keep up with the rules. But again, I say it sounds good. It is not good. It is unbelievably fantastic for consumers, this law, and you should know it because it could change your mind about what, where, when, and how, and why to sell a place to get your cash out of it if you've done very well on something. Now, each transaction is independent of the other, and you do not get to take a loss against one and offset against further gain on the other. That's not the way it works. It is an independent process. It is not a taxable event unless there's a profit made on it. But I wanted everybody to understand that this is probably the best single part of the tax law as it's written right now. So if you're thinking about that kind of thing and you think, God, Ben, we must be crazy. They would never pass a law that good. Well, you're right on both counts, but they did it. Yeah, sure, I'm crazy, but they did it anyway. And I can't believe they did. I can't believe when they changed it this past year, they didn't change it even more. And I'll leave it at this. If you don't tell, I won't. How's that?
Yeah, it's a great source of tax-free money. And I did think of one other, 529 plans, if you use them for college expenses, is another bucket of tax-free money.
Very good. All right. Well, I wanted to get that in because it is so commonly misunderstood. Unless someone has a reason to understand the rules, you probably wouldn't. Now, I will post something on our blog in the next few days about the generalities of sheltering the money you make from doing a home. And in that, it will say, if you don't believe me, well, it will say, don't believe me. Check with your CPA and see. And that is the only safe way to do these things. But meanwhile, I want everybody to know that if you're even thinking about selling your home, now that home prices are rising again, this could be a windfall of pretty good proportion depending on exactly where you live. Also remember, as Howard pointed out to me, that once you do that, you lose your Save Our Homes escalator clause that keeps the taxes down to 3%. So you have to consider that side of the equation also, that you may be stepping into a situation.
Not necessarily. Port your tax, your Save Our Homes now.
That's true. You can port a building. Yeah, right. And that Actually, Angela brought that up. So I'll include that in the rules, too, and be more specific. We'll do the market wrap as soon as we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. C. Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
I almost feel like I should start over, but I won't.
All right. Let's get it.
Welcome back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And now we're going to get on to fun and games in the market as we usually do. You heard that I had a thumbs up and Adam had a thumb sideways. The difference in our attitudes about the market this week were that he is taking a notch off of it because the Dow didn't fare as well as the rest of them. But the Dow only has 30 stocks, which is a topic he's going to talk about. But in general, we had another pretty good week, which makes back-to-back pretty good weeks.
Yeah, it's true. It was a little bit of an unusual week in that we saw some volatility return, but it wasn't negative solely. It went both ways. We saw some all triple-digit moves, I believe, all 4 days of trading.
We did. It was a shortened week. Kind of makes you wonder what would have happened with the fifth day.
Yeah. Tuesday was down pretty big. Wednesday was up pretty big. Thursday was down. Friday was up. It was kind of a ping pong week. But
in other words, it was normal.
Yeah, it was normal. The net effect was that the S&P was up a half point. NASDAQ was up 1.6 and the Dow was down 0.5%. And the Dow actually went back negative for the year. So it's just under 84 points down.
You might want to explain why that happened.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Good. I figured you would.
There was a pretty good reason for it. the whole story of the markets right now is not North Korea. The market really hasn't reacted much to any of the weird things going on with North Korea.
I stand corrected. I said last week, and you disagreed with me, that I thought that would be the driver this week.
And it was tariffs. It was all tariff talk and threat of a trade war. Trump, in his sort of unique and not always lovable style, decided to stick to his guns on the tariff talk, and the market really didn't appreciate it. I think it's pretty clear that it's a negotiating tactic, but at the same time, it does leave a little bit of fear, even for those of us that somewhat believe that it'll work. It's not the most comfortable situation for investors, and that was reflected.
Strangely, though, they went into effect at 12:01 Friday morning.
Right.
And Friday in the market was a lovely day.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we did get some good news on Friday, which I'll get to.
What, sell the rumor, buy the fact or something?
Yeah, so large cap stocks have a lot more international revenue. So they would be affected a lot more by a trade war, which is why you're seeing the Dow, which is the 30 really big companies, mega cap companies, get much more affected by this than all small caps. And the small cap index actually had one of the nicest weeks it's had, or months it's had, since 2016. So all in all, you're seeing a little bit of disparity in the S&P and the Dow. And then if you look at the Russell, it's outperformed them both by a pretty wide margin last month. And that all has to do with the tariff and trade war talk.
Yeah, and it actually makes a lot of sense if you dig into it. But suffice it to say for now, what a nice time to be in small caps.
Yeah, and it also, there's other reasons for it too. Small caps have been generally underperforming the broad market for quite some time now, and even a matter of years. So it's a little bit of playing catch up with the Dow, which and some of the large cap NASDAQ stocks as well. It really just kind of needed to happen. It's more of a reversion to the mean than anything. So I'm actually pretty excited to see it, and I think it's good for the overall market when you're seeing movement like this. Even if it's not for the reasons we expected, it's still happening.
Oh, yeah, but it's causing fits on the street and in the media. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I really...
It's so volatile.
...really dislike the Dow, and I want to... If we have time, I'll talk about that later, but it's not a very good index when you're trying to see... value the gauge of the economy or the overall market is just really not very good, but I'll save that for later. So the second quarter is actually looking really good. The Dow is up in the second quarter 2.2%, the S&P 3.5%, and the NASDAQ up 6.9%. And then year to date is almost the same picture with a little bit bigger spread. I mentioned the Dow was a little negative, but the NASDAQ is up 9.4% this year. Not too bad.
It's June 2nd.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And while the U.S. market is having a pretty good second quarter, the same cannot be said about the rest of the world. Quarter two was pretty ugly in several markets, Brazil and Mexico being two of the worst. Canada, the U.K., and Australia were kind of the lone bright spots outside of the U.S., so apparently it's a good year if you're an English-speaking country.
Oh, Canada will find a way to blow it. Don't worry. He just did.
Fixed income saw a nice rebound in May, with 20-plus-year treasuries leading the way, gaining more than 2%. They're still down more than 3.5% on the year, but it's a big improvement. And the overall bond market, the story is kind of the same. Saw about a 68-basis-point gain in May, but still down 1.75% this year. There were two big headlines in the economic news this week. The first was the revision to the first quarter GDP. It went down from 2.3 to 2.2, which on its surface seems kind of negative, down a good 10 basis points. But the areas in which the revisions came were actually quite positive. The big downside adjustment was in inventories, which means that companies will have to ramp up production to meet demand in the future. And then the biggest upside adjustment was in business fixed investment. So that went up to a 9.2% annual rate from a mid-6% rate. And that's a big deal. It means that businesses are ramping up to create more goods. So both of those things are pretty positive for the rest of the year GDP. The other big headline this week was non-farm payrolls. Friday.
Jobs.
Surprise, yeah.
That three-letter word.
Exactly.
J-O-B-S.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. The the number came out on Friday, which was surprising in itself. It was June 1st.
I announced that last week,
right,
that I'd looked it up, and I was very surprised to see that they were going to stick their necks out. They usually take a few days before the end.
And then also, usually you see the ADP number first,
yeah,
on Wednesday of that week, and then it comes out Friday. But
the difference was Wednesday it was still May, and
right,
Friday it was June. So
it'll be interesting to see that next week. But
I will make a hunch on that if you'd like.
Go for it.
It'll be in between the household and the establishment survey numbers.
So what's your guess?
About 260.
Okay. So the headline number was 223,000 jobs created. The expected was 190,000. And then March and April were also revised up. Really strong report. Unemployment rate dropped to 3.8%. And average hourly earnings increased by 0.3% in May, a pretty good sized number, and they're now up 2.7% year over year. So we're finally starting to see some wage gains, thank goodness.
We'd see more if people would quit their jobs and get new ones.
Yeah, that's just not been a trend lately, but I'd really like to see that number accelerate. I think it's time.
It's going to happen.
It has to.
Flat out, it's going to happen.
It has to. People are going to realize that. There's so many better opportunities out there.
Want that number to grow faster? Build the wall.
One way to do it.
I did some looking around the numbers, and I found that the household survey that BLS does, the one that doesn't say 223,000, that was up 293, I believe it was. The interesting part is what's been happening nationwide. But in order to understand that, you kind of have to understand what seasonally adjusted means. All numbers produced by the economists are adjusted to seasonality. Why would you do a seasonal adjustment? Because if you gave a pure number in April and another pure number in September, they're totally different times of year, totally different job patterns. People are going to school instead of getting out of school and things like that. So what they do when they seasonally adjust them is that they make them more relative to the same period in other years. So the fact that these numbers are large for this particular week and month is really better than it looks, as exemplified by the pre-seasonal adjustment numbers. For May, it was 943,000. That's people who went to work in the month of May, 943,000. For 3 months, the number of people who went to work is 2,635,000. That was seasonally adjusted down, of course. But the population growth itself was 2,687,000, which means that 98% of the population growth over the last period of time, over the last year, has a job. Which means that the participation rate that's showing up there is skewed a lot by retirees.
Yeah, and that's not surprising.
No.
I mean, baby boomers are finally feeling good after the Great Recession about their financial situation, and So that the number of them that have decided to retire in recent years has accelerated greatly.
Yeah.
I've seen estimates as high as 14,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of people exiting the workforce.
It is indeed. And what it means is if you're looking for a job, if you're just graduating from school, you are among the luckiest times that anybody could ever be in your situation. You want a job and you're not afraid or unwilling to move around a little bit and put on some decent clothes and speak English and all that stuff. You can get a job pretty easily right now, and it's a job with good benefits and nice pay, because we're not creating hamburger flippers now.
And after the break, too, I've got the best college majors for getting hired and the worst college majors for getting hired, a survey done by Think Advisor. So I'll get to those as soon as we come back.
I like it. And I have some stories about what silly season is?
No.
It's when the politicians decide it's time to start running for office again.
Oh, geez.
I love silly season because the stupidity of things people say actually increases exponentially. One of them happened yesterday morning, and I think it is absolutely as spot on as it could be. I'll give the trivia question right after the break also, and we will be back to talk about silly things and fun things or whatever you want to talk about. 222-8255, area code 904. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has arrived in Beijing for talks on China's promise to buy more American goods. That's after Washington ratcheted up tensions with a new threat of more tariff hikes on Chinese high-tech exports. These talks focus on China's May 19th promise to narrow its politically volatile trade surplus with the United States. It reached a record $375.2 billion last year. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, known for pushing the envelope with threats and bluster as he seeks to leverage his nuclear weapons program into security and economic benefits for his country. Lately, he's gained notoriety for his envelopes alone, President Trump declaring that his summit with Mr. Kim was on again yesterday after he received an envelope from the leader himself. Black men with advanced prostate cancer fared surprisingly well in two new studies that challenge current thinking about racial disparities.
So here's a great question. How much would you save if you joined MediShare for your healthcare program? The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You might save more. Tammy left a major company and needed a new way ahead for her family. She'd heard about the savings with MediShare, but was wondering about the network of providers.
Once we started the program, I have not had to switch one doctor for myself or for my kids. So all the doctors that we were previously with were all in MediShare.
And she says the process has been fantastic.
I got off the phone and I was like, that's what it should be like. It was a pleasurable experience. An encouraging experience at that.
MediShare might be just the thing you're looking for your family, your budget. Use the savings for other things. Why not get your questions answered? Find out how much you can save. You can call right now. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, EE, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner get the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Howard.
And we're your hosts of Real Estate Radio.
We talk about what's new in real estate and answer your questions about buying and selling.
Buying and selling a home is the biggest financial investment you will ever make.
Whether it's your first home or your last, or you're facing foreclosure, Real Estate Radio is the show for you.
Listen for Howard's help.
And Angela's advice.
And hot property picks in Northeast Florida.
Tune in and call in to Real Estate Radio every Saturday at 9 a.m.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, Talk Radio. WBOB, the latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
There's another crash in 95 North at the ramp from 8th Street. Watch out for that, and also watch out for the object in the road at 295 North at the Buckman Bridge. As for the weather, looking for some rain later on this afternoon. Traveling could be a little hazardous, so slow it down. 60% chance. Cloudy high 92, overnight low 74. It's 83 AM 600 WBOB.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And the lines are open, 222-8255. Trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 636-7888. This is about the time of year that we're going into. Historically, meaning over the last 50 years, June has been the worst performing month out of the 12. 50 years ago, if you were to have invested $100 in the S&P 500 index and kept it in there for the month of June, sold out for 11 months, buy again for the month of June and do that 50 times, your $100 would have already grown to, oh wait, that's the question. But I got to give you a hint because it's such a hard question. If, let's say December's the best month to have been in. So if you were in only 1 month a year for 50 years and it was December, had you put your $100 in for December 50 years ago, it would be worth $201 today. All right, so you basically doubled your money in that time in the best month. How much would your $100 be worth now? And I'd take it within $3. So it's just a number, it's just a guess, and it'll show you that June is not a very good month in the market. It is not a loss, by the way, so I even confined it more. The bracket is up 100 to 201. All right. And by the way, that doesn't include dividends, which I'll get to when I get to the point of this whole thing, which I always do eventually. Trust me. What was I saying? I can't remember. I wanted to bring up a piece of lunacy that we were talking about in the break. This jobs report, Trump tweeted something on Thursday night about the jobs report being good, and of course the media went apoplectic because you're not supposed to do it, and that's another issue altogether. I kind of agree with him. He shouldn't have done it, but he didn't give the number or anything. But one idiot in the media corps said, well, that could be insider trading. So Adam and I were just dissecting that comment. All right, what time of day are jobs numbers released? 8:30 a.m. What time of day does the market open? 9:30 a.m. Prior to the opening of the market, everybody who cares knows what the job number is. I'm sitting there every month at 8:30 in the morning waiting for it to come out so I can react to it. Well, if you're going to do insider trading, it's already too late when the market opens unless you're an after-hours trader, and there are some. Now, if you have the financial wherewithal to be an after-hours trader and the knowledge and the whatever it takes mentally to do it, then perhaps you could be doing some buying. But let me posit this for you. If you've got that much money and that much on the ball in the market, you would have told me what the jobs report would have been, because you've got a handle on the American economy and the world economy. I told you all, here's the secret to life here, I told you all last week at this time that a good jobs report was going to come out yesterday morning. So maybe it's my fault. Do I know any more than the average person? Well, maybe so, but only because I study, not because I sit around and wait for some idiot to tell me something. It's just, silly season is out there. It is so bad. It's like Pelosi calling the bonuses crumbs and saying that it's a unique company who gave them one when there's a list of something like 257 affecting millions and millions of people. Don't pay attention to these people. Listen to our show and tune them out. You'll be far, far ahead.
The other thing is Donald Trump has over 52 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, so that's public information, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be public information as soon as it was tweeted and therefore cannot be insider trading.
That is the antithesis of insider trading, which means that you know something the market doesn't know.
So I mentioned earlier, we had a little data from ThinkAdvisor about the best majors, college majors for getting hired and the worst college majors for getting hired. Has nothing to do with what you will actually make as one of these professions once you get the major, but you will not have a hard time finding a job if you have one of the best college majors. So I wanted to, the best ones aren't too surprising. The worst ones, also not surprising, except for two of them. So the worst majors for getting hired, and for those recent graduates in this, I apologize. There's probably nothing you can do about it now except maybe go back and get a graduate degree in something more useful. But
number one was mass media, then fine arts, English language, liberal arts, philosophy, earth sciences, anthropology, and general social sciences. However, number nine was mathematics, and number 10 was engineering technologies. I found that a little bit strange. Those are not the ones you usually see on that side of the list. But the best college majors for getting hired, we'll start at the bottom. A couple of surprising ones in here. Number 10 was agriculture. I never would have guessed that. Number 9, general engineering. Number 8, nursing. No surprise there. Then early childhood education. Apparently there's a big need for teachers. Didn't know.
Similar to the that could be nurse good. Situation where the supply and demand are still out of balance.
It could be good news for teachers because when there's a demand like that, wages tend to go up, which is something that teachers definitely have longed for. Number 6, civil engineering. Number 5, general education. Number 4, elementary education. Number 2 is also special education. So lots of education opportunities. Number 3 is industrial engineering, and number 1 is medical technician. So some of those not so surprising, but I really found the education ones quite surprising. And then agriculture, who knew? I didn't know there was such a need for people to work in agriculture.
Well, think about it. We've got a call coming in anyway. I wasn't going to take that right away, but when you think about it, agriculture is an industry now where it used to be home-based, that we had whole
farmers,
economy. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
How goes it?
Okay. Hey, I have a trivia question for you two.
Shoot.
Oh, okay.
And it's sponsored by the Van Wee Financial
So I'll send something to Adam or he can send it to me. We'll bill Ken Bales anyway, so don't worry about it.
So I spell Fang with two A's.
You too.
So how many of the Fang stocks hit all-time highs yesterday?
I believe 3.
you got me. Let's see. I got to guess a different number than Adam did just for fairness, so I'll go with 4.
You're right. 4.
Oh, with 4? Darn it.
Send me something. You know my address.
I will.
You can leave it on the desk. Yeah, technology's been hot. Remember, it wasn't all that long ago when tech was kind of sagging. Not anymore.
So, Chuck, which one didn't? I'm not sure.
Google.
Oh, okay.
Alphabet.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Catch up.
Apple hit it. Apple did a new high,
Apple
huh?
Apple hit it. Oh, this is really incredible. I was watching Apple yesterday in the final few minutes to see if it would break through 190. And it did in the last 2 minutes. And I think it closed at 190.24, which was an all-time high just in the last 2 minutes.
I wonder where we are on the trillion-dollar valuation. I'll have to look that up when I get home. The market cap of a trillion has never been reached, but if it's climbing to new highs, it's sneaking up on it because it was close. That would be cool.
I thought I heard a long time ago that 193 was the trillion-dollar mark.
You got to be very, very close, if not deadly accurate. And now they've got the Worldwide Developers Conference coming up, which is usually a way that Apple stimulates some interest again in new products and improvements on old ones and that sort of thing. So that could be a stimulator to get there. I have predicted, a month ago, that it wouldn't be too long and it'll hit it. And so far, so good. Cool. Hope you own some.
UBS analyst upgraded it his price target, and he cited service revenues as an increasing driver. And I think some of the analysts are slowly coming around to the fact that the service revenues are going to be a bigger and bigger piece of the pie, and not be obsessed with iPhone sales.
Yeah, well, that's why they've been going into the streaming of the video and the streaming of the music and so on, ebooks, all that. They've known it for a long time. Microsoft knows the same thing. That's why nowadays they're doing more software leasing than selling. These people think ahead of the normal person on the street, and that's why they're rich and famous, right?
Yeah.
You want to take a shot at the trivia before we have to run, which is going to be any second now?
I'll say 140.
Too high, but not a bad guess. We appreciate the call. Thanks very much. As always, good to talk to you.
Okay, you too.
Thanks, Chuck. I like people who are observing the world that we live in and making comments about it, because This is going to be a really big deal when Apple hits it, not for any particular reason than everybody loves things that have never been done before. All right, we're going to take one last little break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939. For your free CD, call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape Maintenance. I think my yard is probably growing faster than any time in the last 18 years I've had that place. Call Troy at 662-9794 and tell him to get a mower running and keep it running 24/7 for a while. Man, it's interesting out there. Rain, sun. Perfect season. All right, I think we'll spend a couple minutes on what I consider just abject to stupidity. My favorite headline from this morning, ripped right out of Yahoo. Controversial, quote, Kennedy accounts could help you make as much as $1.19 million. Kennedy accounts. All right, first off, how controversial is an account that could make you $1.19 million?
Why 1.19? Is there something magic about 1.2?
Let's see. No. That's wait. With what kind of an investment? I can make you 1.19 million. Put in a million and a quarter. And wait. Never know. Kennedy accounts.
Never heard of it.
It's a fully funded life insurance product, people. I don't care what you call them, the Palm Beach Group or whoever these folks are, don't read that stuff. It's just, it's so ridiculous. All right, here's my favorite story of the week. Adam found it too, so we can talk about it a little bit. Morgan Stanley, fella named Mike Wilson, chief equity strategist.
Yep.
Okay. He says that he believes that the stock market is in the midst of a cyclical bear market that could last through the end of the year. A cyclical bear market. And then he says, I think we're in a rolling bear market. So I looked up both terms on Investopedia. You ever want to know what a financial term means? Just go to investopedia.com and type it in. It'll tell you exactly what it means. Well, you won't find either of those.
I've never heard of that.
So come to find out, Mr. Wilson makes up his own stuff for the most part. And here's what he says. First off, Adam, what's the definition of a bear market?
Well, a bear market is a 20% drop off recent highs.
In 2 months.
Yeah.
That's the common.
Right.
So he says some stocks, well, every sector has gone down 11 or 12% at least once this year. Some were down 18, 19, or 20. Okay. How about the market, Mr. Wilson? The market. We're in a bear market. So apparently that's what he means by rolling. It rolls from one sector to another. They go into bear markets. That's not the definition. Plain and simple. He has a lot of distractors, of course. But it says, while stocks were poised for a positive return for the month of May, volatility has plagued markets since the beginning of the year. What do you know? We've had volatility in the market this year. Who knew?
And we're in a bear market, but year-to-date, the market's up 2.3%.
So. I did a random check of half a dozen of our clients this morning for the time period between January 1 and close of business last night. I didn't see anybody down for the year. Does that sound like a bear market? Did we have a correction? We certainly did. Did we need it? We certainly did. We got it, and now it's headed back up. And the problem that many people saw was that we weren't setting many new records. We are starting to set new records.
Yeah, the Russell 2000 set an all-time high this week.
Yep. So, Wilson explained his definition of a bear market varies from traditional Wall Street wisdom. So, this guy gets to make up his own definitions when everybody in the world uses the standard definition of a bear market except him. What do you think he's selling? It's a four-letter word. Fear.
Yeah, that's no doubt about it.
Selling fear.
This also says he's the most bearish strategist tracked by CNBC, and he has forecasted that the S&P will finish the year at 2750, implying less than 1% upside for the rest of the year. But he's saying the market will go up.
Yeah, a bear market in which we go up 1%.
It makes no sense. And then also, if he's been the most bearish over the last 5 years, how did he get the job as the chief U.S. equity strategist for Morgan Stanley? Because
his daddy owned the place?
He's been wrong 5 years in a row.
Maybe that's how you get there. He should work for the government.
It doesn't make sense.
Or be a weather forecaster.
I mean, I don't know. Or maybe sell a newsletter.
Oh, man. You know, some mornings you wake up and look around and you just shake your head. Robert Shiller, noted economist, Robert Shiller says, solid earnings season won't be enough to avert another correction. Do you know how many corrections Robert Shiller has forecast in the last 30 years?
I mean, probably all of them and then some.
Yeah. You know what they say about an economist, that someone who has correctly forecast 12 of the last four recessions.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There are people out there. And if you read about them, just Google the name, read about them, you'll see things like nicknames like the perpetual bear, that sort of thing. We've given you lists of names before not to follow. If you get the feeling that someone is selling fear or selling greed, you're right. The Kennedy accounts that I was talking about, they're selling greed. The bear market, rolling bear market people, they're selling fear. What do they want you to do? It's always the same in the end. Buy their newsletter. Some of them are really expensive, too.
Yep, definitely. But I'm pretty sure that's not this guy's MO.
No, I don't think so. He's gainfully employed, at least. Special announcement, June 30th. our reverse mortgage specialist, Marshall Gallup, will be joining me on the show. Adam will be out taming the giant wave.
I will be. I'll be on vacation and not thinking about the show.
I'll send you the podcast. Anyway, Marshall will be here. There's been a lot of changes in the reverse mortgage industry, and most of them are for the better, believe it or not. But we're going to do it. I like to bring them in once a year because a lot of things do change. We get a lot of new and different listeners over the course of a year. And this topic, a very, very controversial topic, the reverse mortgage, but it has gone from its infancy, in which nobody in the right mind would touch it with a 10-foot pole, to being a bona fide planning strategy for personal financial planning, whether it be buying, refinancing, creating a lifetime income, or anything else that you want to do. And one of the things that I have long tried to do was get the impressions, the false impressions, leftovers out of people's minds so that they will open up the discussion. If you have ever talked to somebody about a reverse mortgage, you probably see the distaste in their face when you mention the words. And it's because they were being sold by celebrities and it sounded too good to be true, and largely at that point it was too good to be true. But no longer is that the case. Properly used, that's always got to be the predicate on it, properly used, they can literally improve the quality of your later life. And since they don't start until you're age 62, it is targeted specifically for your later life.
Yep, and it opens up a world of possibilities, because historically, when you needed to tap into the equity in your house, there are a few ways to do it. You could get a second mortgage or a home equity line of credit. The problem with those things is that you have to pay them back. Mm-hmm. And so if you're using your own debt to pay back your debt, that's not a good strategy.
No. In fact, since we're on this subject, I'll tell you what happened to me a few years ago. I had an elderly gentleman come in who was already into his 80s, had a beautiful home out on the river, and he was his own electrician. He was his own yard company. He was his own painter. He was his own everything, not because he liked it, but because he had to be, because he was house rich and completely cash flow poor. So he started talking to me, and I said, well, have you looked into a reverse mortgage? Because he owned the property free and clear. And he said, oh, no, my daughter works for a bank, and she told me it's just another way for the bank to get your money. I looked him in the eye, and I said, I want you to do what I'm doing. You sit there, and you look your daughter in the eye, and you say, no, it isn't. Call Steve. I never got that call. What this girl wanted, I am absolutely convinced, is that she wanted that property, and she wanted it free of any encumbrances when she inherited. But it didn't happen that way, because about 6 months later, I did get a phone call, and it was this fella again. And he came in, and I said, well, what can we do for you today? And he said, I just wanted to tell you, I have a painter, I have a plumber, I have a yard service, my house is beautiful, and I get to sit there and watch it all happen now. He took out a lifetime income reverse mortgage, and now he is living the life that an 80-odd-year-old person should be able to live when they have spent their entire life building up an estate. All right, if you had put $100 into the market only for the month of June 50 years in a row, you would have a whopping $101 right now. Here's the bottom line, folks. Put the money in the S&P 500, leave it for 50 years. You don't have 101 or 201. You got $3,063, and that doesn't include the 25 to 30% return that's from the dividends. Invest smart. Listen to the show. See you next week. This is the Ben Wheat Financial Hour.